Thank you, praise and worship team. Thank you, Sister Monica. Thank you, Brother Jack. It is so good to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ. We have much, much to be thankful for. Amen. Turn with me to John 11. John 11, verse 1. And we're going to jump around just a little bit. I know I'm going to try and move as fast as I can, but hopefully not too fast, because there's a lot that we want to learn about, or a lot that we want to chew up and meditate on. I know the story of Lazarus is a story that probably every single person in here has heard or read several times, but it's been ministering to me a lot lately, and I want to share it with you guys. So just a little bit about what's going on is Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry has a special group of friends. He has his disciples, but there's this special oasis, if you will, or this special place, a special group of people where he loves to go and kind of rest and recuperate. And so it's the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They're brothers, they're brother and sisters. They're a family there. So as Jesus is doing the thing, these are special people in his life. Now he's continuing the ministry, and Lazarus, this guy who he is very close to, this guy that he loves dearly, all right? He just say this was a personal friend of Jesus Christ. This guy Lazarus gets very, very sick. If you don't know the story, he gets very sick. He's about to die, real bad sick. So Mary and Martha, they have direct access to Jesus Christ. That's how close they are. So they send word to Jesus, hey, Lazarus, the guy you love, is very, very sick, thinking that Jesus is going to read the letter. Like, oh my gosh, I better get back there. I better go take care of this. Well, that's the story. And I'll go ahead, spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, Lazarus dies. Yeah, he dies. And so Mary and Martha are not happy. They might even think, well, Jesus kind of let us down this time around. Or maybe you feel like that sometimes. Man, has Jesus kind of let you down? Well, first of all, you need to change that way of thinking. He hasn't let you down at all. He's faithful, and he knows what he's doing. But Lazarus passes away, and Mary and Martha, they're just heartbroken, like we would be, you know? But then Jesus arrives, and he does this amazing thing. He raises Lazarus. I'm going to get tangled up in this thing today. Thank you, Jesus. He raises Lazarus up from the dead, okay? That's what we're talking about today. So I hope I didn't ruin anything for you. But John 11 and verse 1, and what we're talking about this morning is, as I want you guys to understand, and it goes along with the theme of what the brother was sharing, what Sister Monica was sharing, what Sister Claudia was sharing, what the praise and worship was about. Your situation, and some of you guys really need to listen to this. Everybody needs to listen to this, but some of us are in some pretty crazy situations right now. And I want you to understand what the Word of God tells us over and over again. Your situation is not hopeless. Amen? Your situation is not hopeless. Now give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to jump around a little bit. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village, Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This is this family that Jesus loves dearly. Now jump with me down to verse 3. Like I said, I'm jumping around today, okay? Now you go read John 11 in your leisure, because there's a lot of good stuff to glean from, okay? But we're kind of staying on course with a certain topic this morning. Verse 3, so the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Okay, so let's just get this out of the way real fast. This is a no-brainer, but guys, you got to understand this if you don't already. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you are going to have trials and storms. In this world, as Christians, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your own stupid, selfish actions sometimes. Right? Can I get a witness? That's how this thing works, man. Okay, but see, we're going to have trials. We're going to have storms. But God has allowed these things in our life because this is God's preferred method of how God makes his man. Okay, I'm not God. You're not God. But God is God and God knows what he's doing. So he says, I'm going to allow you to go through this situation, but it is for my glory and for your growth. Amen. Matter of fact, look at Acts 14 and verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, this is crazy. This is the Apostle Paul. He was preaching, doing the thing, man. And these cats, you know, guys, dudes, that people that don't love the message that Paul, the gospel that Paul the Apostle is bringing, decide to stone him. Okay? So Paul is stoned and left for dead outside of the city. So Paul gets up, brushes himself off. Next time you see Paul, he's back in the city preaching. Okay? Talk about trials and storms and tribulations. Read about the life of Paul the Apostle. Okay? We just got done with like a 20-something week study in the book of Philippians. But anyways, what's going on here with the Apostle Paul? He just was stoned. A lot of people say this is where he got his revelation of heaven. This is where he was caught up into heaven, like the guy was actually dead, and they prayed him back to life. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul experiencing heaven for those moments and then his buddies praying him back? You know, anyways, that's a topic for another story. But this is what the Apostle Paul says right after that situation. What I'm trying to say this morning is if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a Christian, God never promises you that this is the easy road, okay? Matter of fact, he makes it clear. He doesn't keep any secrets from you. He says, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're not going to be everybody's favorite at Thanksgiving anymore. Acts 14 and verse 22. Acts 14, you didn't know that? Acts 14, it's starting to make sense now. No. Acts 14 and verse 22. This is what Paul says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. So Paul's talking to this group of believers, and he's encouraging them, saying, stay strong in the Lord. Trust them. Now listen to this. Continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You see, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, you know, they just threw so many stones at me. You know, they thought I was dead. Maybe I was dead. Okay. But he says, this is what you signed up for. You know, okay, you just made Satan a real enemy to you. Okay. Now, the Apostle Paul says, you're going to have trials. You're going to have storms. That's part of being a Christian. Okay. And if you look back to the good old days, which weren't really the good old days, but if you look back there, you had plenty of hard times. You had plenty of hard times. You caused a lot of them. Sometimes they just happened. Okay, but as a believer, God says, we're going to use this. We're going to use this trial to mold you, to make you that vessel that I can pour out. So anyways, so the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Now, we can't miss out on this. The sisters are doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, they're crying out to Jesus Christ. They're crying out to the Lord. We're in a situation here that the doctors can't fix, that Martha's cooking can't fix. We don't have a way out of this. We have to have you, Jesus. We have to have you. And that's what we got to do. You got these crazy burdens, and as I look out there, some of you guys got some crazy, crazy stuff going on. But give those burdens to God, and when Satan throws those fiery darts, you say, no. I'm trusting in Jesus. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Seriously, go ahead. Verse 4, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Hold on, Paul. You just said the guy was going to die. Yeah, but I also said Jesus was going to raise him up. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. This is good. It is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This situation that Lazarus is going through, this situation that Mary and Martha are going through, this is for God the Father to get glory. This is for God the Son to get glory. This is for this family to grow in intimacy and trust and in relationship with the Most High God. But when we go through trials, man, that's one of those things, man, where the rubber meets the road and you realize what is truly important in your life, right? It's like, this is all I need. These things I was messing around with last week, not important. Matter of fact, I can't even believe my life was like that a few days ago. This is everything. This is all I need. Amen. But anyways, this is for God's glory. Amen. Listen, the trial that you're going through, the storm that you're going through, that you would never in a million years say, hey, I would like to go through this crazy, crazy mess. You would never say that. Nah, we like the easy road. As Christians, we want to go down the path of least resistance, man. As humans, that's what we want to do, right? Okay, we don't want this stuff. But God allows these things into our life, and he says, hey, not for no reason. James says, this is for God's glory. This is for God's glory. God has put you in this situation for him to receive glory and honor. And it says, this illness does not lead to death. Now, I was reading a bunch of commentaries the other day, and one of the commentary guys said, no, it didn't lead to death. It led through death, through to the other side. And that really speaks to me. You know, sometimes we are in hopeless situations, but it's not hopeless for us. Okay, we belong to the one true God. And Luke 1 verse 37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. That's a big statement. That's a bold statement. And we got a whole book right here where God makes a bunch of promises. And you know what? His track record is perfect. So give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I just love that so much. Jump with me to Luke 18 and verse 27. When we're going through these impossible situations, think about, I say this several times throughout the week, and I say it to myself throughout the week when I'm talking with people and when I'm looking at my own life and different struggles that I might be going through and stuff like that, because we all got situations, right? We all got things that we're believing God to get us through, and he's faithful. But what we got to do is we got to stand on God's promises. We got to stand on the word of God. So this is one of these good promises that you want to hold on to. Luke 18 and verse 27. But he said, this is Jesus talking, but he said, what is impossible with man? And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we can't do. Matter of fact, anything that we can do is because God has blessed us with that ability. Every good thing you've ever experienced or will experience is a gift from God. Amen? But there's a lot of things that we can't do, that we can't accomplish. Like this situation with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Without Jesus, there ain't no fixing it. Okay? You might be in a situation. You know, without Jesus, there ain't no fixing it. I've been in situations, man, where my heart was so grieved and just so basically in a place of despair, a place of hopelessness, that I allowed myself to get in through the course of many, many years. I worked myself into a place of just utter despair and hopelessness. And I knew this much about my situation, that there was no way out. There was no end of this, no light at the end of the tunnel without Jesus Christ doing something. But there's something to be said about not giving up, man. There's something to be said about just hanging in there. He that waits upon the Lord, he shall renew his strength. And there's something to be said about people praying for you as well. Amen. Can I get a witness? Luke 18 and verse 27. But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Look at that. Whatever your situation is, Dalton, Dustin, Daryl, anybody at D Guys, that's the boy band they're starting, the D-Boys. The D-Boys. No, I'm playing. No. Anywho, we hold on to God's promises. What is impossible with you is not impossible to your Lord and Savior. Having said that, I want you to understand this. I want you to hold it close to you, that your God can do all things. And sometimes as we pray, as we give our burdens to God, sometimes he will change the way we're praying. Sometimes he'll say, you know what? Don't pray for that anymore. Pray for this. See, when we come before the Lord and we spend time with him, he can and will change what we're asking for or change our desires. And what I'm trying to say is he will align what he wants to do is he wants to align his will up with your will. Remember, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. And look at Psalm 106, verse 1. Let's talk about God's faithfulness. Even when things just don't make sense, when, when things just aren't fair. You know, Psalm 106, verse 1. Okay, we're talking about giving God glory through our trials right now. And matter of fact, that's what you're here for. You're here to give God glory. You're here to give God honor with the things we do, the things we say, the things we think about. Amen. So look at this verse right here, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Well, Paul, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what the doctor told me. You don't know what's going on in my home. Well, I'm saying this right here, that whatever you're going through, you have a reason to give God glory. Amen. Look at verse 4 again. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This situation is to give God glory. The situation that you're going through is for your spiritual growth. It's also for God's glory. So when the psalmist says in Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord, oh, give thanks to the Lord, he's not asking you to do something impossible. He's asking you to do something that will help you through your trials. Does that make sense? He's asking you to do something that will give you strength and peace as you go through this trial, whatever it is. Get your eyes off of yourself and magnify the Lord. See God for who he is and give him praise and glory through your storm. Give him some praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, the steadfast love thing really speaks to me, man. You know, and some people out here, I'm sure you got rejection issues and stuff like that. I'm sure there's times where people have abandoned you, whatever. That's just the world we live in. But don't get that confused with God. You know, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, it feels like he's left me because all of a sudden the COVID-19 and this happened and that. I'm not making light of any of that. I'm just saying, man, our world's been a little crazy, and then crazy on top of crazy on top of crazy. That's just what we're living in right now. Okay, but God is steadfast. His love endures forever. He's right here with you. Amen. Anyways, let's go to the next slide, beloved. God is good, right? John 11:5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Wouldn't that be nice to have that written down somewhere? Wouldn't that be nice? Now Jesus loved Paul and Rachel and PJ and Sarah Jean and Claudia. Well, it's written all through the Bible, actually. For God so loved the world and all that. Remember, God is good, God is faithful. But what a beautiful thing to see that. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. What? Hold the phone. What are you talking about? He loves them. John just said, he really loves these guys. It's no secret that Jesus really enjoys hanging out with his people. He loves these people. Jesus goes over there. He brings his disciples, and it's a wonderful thing that they got going on. And Jesus loves these guys. So when he finds out or hears that Lazarus is very, very sick, he stays in the same place for 2 more days. Now, this is where it kind of gets a little crazy, right? Because we love Jesus, and we know Jesus loves us, right? Right? We know Jesus loves us, and we love Jesus. And we expect Jesus to be Johnny on the spot when we call on him. You know, we're like, Jesus, you need to fix this. Matter of fact, we tell him exactly. Sometimes we tell him exactly what he needs to be doing. You know, like our roles are reversed. Like we're the boss. We're not the clay all of a sudden, but we're the creator of the universe. Man, we need to stop thinking that way. He's not our genie in a bottle. Can I get a witness? You know, but it clearly says, I love these guys. But when I found out about it, I stayed right where I was for 2 more days. All right. But there's a reason behind what Jesus is doing. And if you're familiar with the story, you understand what's going on. But what does that have to do with the price of tea in China or Guam or the Philippines? What it's saying to me is God's ways are above my ways, and I don't always understand the things that he's doing. I don't understand why he allows this or why he allows that, but I can go back and lean on what I do understand. And that's where the problem is sometimes is is we feel like God let us down because he didn't do exactly what I think he should do. And so I won't stand on God's promises. I won't stand on God's promises anymore where he says, I got a good plan for you. I'm faithful. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'll give you strength. We'll get through this together. You know, but okay, easiest way I can explain it is right here in Isaiah 55 in verse 9. And this is in Isaiah 55, verse 9, God is talking about his forgiveness and how he, you know, because Paul wrote, I don't like to forgive people. Well, I mean, it's super, super easy for me to like want to stab you. And no, I'm playing. No, please forgive me. Please forgive me. It's super easy for me to forgive like 99% of like stuff. It's like, oh, that's no big deal. Whatever. I get it. You're having a bad day. No problem. But there's this certain weird line, man. And if you cross it with me, I have to fight really, really hard, man. You know, like, oh, give that to Jesus, give that to Jesus. And we all got those places in our lives, those places where we need to work on. And I've been working on it. God's been working on it. I've come a million miles from what I was. But what are we talking about? Forgiveness. Yeah, okay, in Isaiah right here, God's talking about forgiveness. He's saying, hey, my ways are not your ways, man. My ways are far above your ways. You know, I do want to forgive. I do. Okay, let me just read the verse. We don't always understand what God's doing, but when I don't understand, I go to what I do understand. Don't make up a bunch of stuff. Don't assume a bunch of stuff. Let me go stand on God's promises. Let me go stand on God's truths. Isaiah 55 and verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Is that true? For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's a pretty way of God saying, you're not always going to get it. You're not always going to understand it. You know what I mean? But the beautiful thing is, you know, like when my children don't get it and their heart's broken, I still want to give them comfort. I still want to set them at ease. I still want them to have peace. You know what I mean? And so God comes down to our level and he says, listen, you're not always going to get it. I know you're going through a tough time, but we're going to get through it. Trust in me. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. So look at Psalm 27 and verse 13. It's on your bulletin. I think, yeah, it's right there too. Psalm 27 and verse 13. I love this. This is an amazing verse. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. See, we got to be steadfast, man. We got to be planted in the Word of God, man. We got to be like that tree planted in streams of living water. Does that make sense, man? My roots are wrapped around the Word of God. Now, look, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. When you go get to heaven? Yeah, that's cool. No, but I'm not talking about that right now. Okay. I'm here right now, as the preacher said, as Preacher Fred said, the nasty now and now. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right here, right now, I don't know how I'm going to get through this mess. I don't know how my life's ever going to get back to some sort of state of normalcy. I don't know how any of this is going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. I know that God will get me to that place. I know that he will. I'm going to give him praise right now. I'm going to praise him right now in the middle of my storm. I'm going to give him the sacrifice of praise. Can I get a witness? And I know that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. John 11, verse 17. John 11, 17. We're back to our story. Now, when Jesus came... Okay, I forgot where I was. So Jesus stays a couple of days longer. Now he is nearing the village where Mary and Martha is. Now something's happened here. Something big's happened here. John 11, 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been dead, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Wow, man. Wow. Talk about a hopeless situation, not for Jesus. But like talking about my hopes and dreams are crushed, man. You know, Lazarus, there's, okay, at this point, there's no, well, no more waiting on Jesus to get there and save the day. Lazarus is dead, but he's not only dead. Jesus missed the funeral. It's been 4 days, you know. It's past, you know, Jesus needs to get here and fix this problem. It's past some sort of miracle, or it would seem, you know, like this is just a hopeless dead end. Now I just got to deal with the rest of my life without my big brother around. I'm my brother Lazarus. Now when Jesus came, he had found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Listen, it's not hopeless. That's the main thing that I want to get across to us. It's not hopeless. Okay, we belong to the one true God. We belong to the creator of the universe who speaks planets into being. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it's not impossible for him. Okay, your dream, whatever you're going through, it's not impossible. It doesn't have to be dead. That's what I'm trying to say. This situation looks hopeless, but that's when God really comes through. That's the breakthrough time, right? When your back's against the wall and there's no way you can do it, there's no way you can get victory on this on your own. Hey, that's when God shows himself powerful in our life. Look at Luke 18 and verse 1. So this is, I'm not going to do the parable of the persistent widow. I'm going to act it out. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do the parable of the persistent widow, but we're just going to do this little synopsis. Luke 18 and verse 1. That is a style of preaching, by the way. I'm not going to get into that. But where the preacher will take on a character in the Bible and do his sermons as if he was that person. We're doing that next week. Blind Bartimaeus here. No, Jesus, forgive me. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. The persistent widow parable, you can just sum it up like this. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Your situation's not hopeless. Jesus is making that very clear. It might look hopeless. It might be hopeless in the natural, but it ain't hopeless for God. You know, the NIV says, don't give up. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. It's hopeless. Who said it was hopeless? God didn't say it was hopeless. All right. Thank you, Jesus, right? Look at Psalm 88 and verse 9. Man, talk about honesty. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Psalms, man, is when we see the psalmist and when we see David, he pours his heart out, man. And he's just, David's like this amazing guy. I'm not saying David wrote this psalm right here, but a really cool thing about David is he was just so open about his emotions, man. He was like this amazing man. He was like this warrior dude, you know, amazing warrior guy. But also there's that sensitive poetic side that probably the chicks really liked, you know. Yeah. But look how honest he is. And this isn't David. So anyways, whatever. Psalm 88 in verse 9. Check this out. Look at this brutal honesty. Are you going to get anywhere beating around the bush when you're talking to the Most High God? See, that's the thing about when we pray publicly. Sometimes, you know, it's a little more difficult than when we pray in our prayer closet. When we're all alone, we're very much more sincere. I mean, there's no one to worry about hearing me or me wanting to. There's a lot of things that come in when we're praying publicly. So always I want to encourage everyone, make sure you spend that time alone with the Lord. Amen. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. So here we go. The sweet psalmist here. The psalmist is saying, man, I'm not doing good right now. I'm not doing good. I'm just so full of sorrow, but I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. See, my eye grows dim through sorrow, but every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. talking about giving the Lord that sacrifice of praise. You know, I'm going to cast my cares upon you because you care for me. I don't know how this thing's going to end, but I know it's going to be through victory, and you're going to get glory, and I'm going to get this growth and intimacy and maturity. Let's go to the next slide. Don't give up, right? Look at your neighbor and say, scoot over. I mean, look at your neighbor. So look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Okay, jump with me. Jump with me to Luke 11, 25, and we're almost done. We're almost done. We're almost done. John 11, 25. This is Jesus now talking to Martha. Talking to Martha. And so we've been talking about trials, storms, tribulations. That's nothing new to us. And not giving up and trusting in God and knowing that he will get us to that place of victory. And we're going to continue to talk about that for the remainder of the service. But I want to kind of go in a slightly different direction right now. And I want to talk to anybody in here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because to get the benefits that we've talked about, you got to be in the family. You got to be in the family. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about spending eternity with our Lord and Savior. See, as Christians, we don't look at death the same way other people do. You know what I mean? Oh, we know that it's going to happen, but we also know that the victory's already been won. And we have much to be excited about. So I am talking to the person. I don't know if there's anybody in here who's not saved, but I'm saying if you're not saved, you need to do it. You need to do it today. Look, this is Jesus talking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. Now, Martha sees Jesus, and she says, Lord, if you would have been here, you could have saved my brother. A little disappointed, feeling a little bit let down, you know, a lot let down, right? Man, we sent the guy. We sent the – I know that was priority mail we sent to you. Somebody had to sign for it. We know you got the message. And I don't get it. Sometimes we don't get it. But we hang on to God's promises. We hang on to what we do know. Okay, Jesus said to her. Okay, so Jesus said, this will not end in death. And she says, I know. I'm paraphrasing. I know in the last day he will rise again in the resurrection. Now listen. Jesus said to her, I am. It's an I am statement, by the way. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, and that's just how this thing works, man. Thanks, Grandpa Adam. Thanks, Grandma Eve, or whatever. You know, we would have messed it up if it would have been you. But anyways, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So this is really the big picture right here. You know, do you believe it? Paul, do you believe it? I do believe it. I do believe it with all my heart, man. I know Jesus Christ is real. I know he's the Son of God. I know he died for my sins. You know, I know it. And I know where my eternity is. You know, I know the way. Jesus Christ is the way. You know, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. So I'm not worried about that. But I'm saying, you know, If you haven't asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you got to do it. Tomorrow's not promised to you. I mean, look in the news headlines and all the lies. I mean, beside all the lies, but what else is there beside all? No, but look in the newspaper and see, we just live in this crazy world, man. We live in this crazy, crazy world. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. But I know where I'm going to go. I know where I'm going to go if I leave here and take my last breath or if I flop over right now. I know where I'm going. Okay. Look at John 3:16. Because we're talking about believing now, you know. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, church people? John 3:16. Such an easy verse. I'm sure everybody memorizes it already. Memorized it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, there's the same thing. Do you believe this? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's a good deal. that's, you're not getting a better deal. That's an amazing deal. And it's not just believing that he exists. The demons believe that, and they're not going to be there with us. They know he exists, and they tremble at the mention of his name. Amen? It's talking about believing that he is who he says he is. Son of God, born of a virgin, died for my sins, rose from the dead. You're a sinner, and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Okay. And you got to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You just got to. There's no other way to the Father. Doesn't matter how good you've been or how cool you are or how much money you have in the bank or even if you build an orphanage or are you whatever. None of that matters, man. Moving forward, you must be saved. Martha goes and gets her sister, Mary. Now, when Mary runs to Jesus, all the mourners, all these Jewish mourners, all these people that are sad, run with Mary. They assume Mary is going to the tomb, so they all get up to go with her to the tomb. She's not going to the tomb. Martha told her that that Jesus was there, so she runs to meet Jesus, and she says verbatim the exact same thing that Martha said. Lord, if you would have been here, you know, you could have fixed all this. You know, kind of shows you that maybe they were kind of, you know, a little upset with Jesus and kind of talking about him, you know. Oh, man, he really let us down now. No, he didn't. He didn't let us down. Sometimes we don't get it, but he's faithful. He's not going to let you down. Right? Is that true? Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus saw her, Mary now, when Jesus, we're almost done. This is good, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When Jesus saw her weeping, this is good. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, so just a bunch of folks are just broken up. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. What's that about, man? What is that about, man? Jesus knows what's going on. He purposely stayed back so when he got there, Lazarus would have been dead, and he knew that. And he knew what he was going to do, you know? And he knew he had to go towards Jerusalem. He knew the cross was waiting for him right down the road. He knew all this. He knew the power that he had in him. He knew a couple verses down the road, he was going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. But see, Jesus is seeing all these people crying, and he begins to get angry. Did you know Jesus could get angry? Not my Jesus. What about the money lenders? What about the money changers? What about what he did at the temple in Jerusalem? What about that? You know, he was angry. He was not happy. All right. Just like how we might get when we read about some horrible, horrible thing. Like my phone and Rachel Jean's phone went off and somebody was calling me and I was furious because it was 2 a.m. And Rachel was like, who is that? That's what she said. She said, who is that? No, I don't get, that's not what happened. But the phone sent out a message, my phone and Rachel's phone, and we pick it up and a kid has been kidnapped. And I'm furious. I'm mad. And I'm tired of people messing, not about the being woke up, but, you know, people messing with kids, people molesting kids, people aborting their children. It's okay to get mad at the right thing, man. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I mean, we live in a world where evil people do evil things. And they want to strike at the most innocent as possible. Okay? So anyways, moving forward, I hope everyone's all right. Call me anytime you want. Rachel Jean has me turning off the phone. I have to turn it off. But I will check it. Okay, John 11 and verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He was mad, man. He was mad at the effects of sin. He was mad at what Satan was able to do in this world. He was just that much more determined to raise Lazarus up from the dead. He was just that much more determined to go to the cross. So it wouldn't just be Lazarus being rose from the dead. But once he goes to the cross, it's a done deal. You know, salvation is secure for anybody that'll call on that name. But he was mad, man. It's okay to be mad at the right thing, but go deal with it in the right way. Amen. But the beautiful thing you hear is Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he is just upset, man. He's upset at evil being done. And he says, I'm going to take care of this. I know what I got to do. Amen. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, there's that verse that everybody tells you. Everybody used to tell me that verse in middle school. Like, your dad's a preacher, right? Yeah, he's a preacher. Jesus wept. Yeah. Far out, dude, yeah. Jesus wept. It's true. Remember, Jesus was upset. But now in this little powerful stick of dynamite verse, verse 35, Jesus wept. And like I said, he knows what he's doing, man. He knows the power that's in him. He knows. Remember, he said, we're going to go here so God can be glorified. This is a good thing that it goes along, that it happens this way. But he still gets angry when he saw the effects of sin. He still breaks down and weeps, man. It's not like Jesus wept like when you're watching one of them rom-coms, you know what I'm talking about? Do you watch the rom-coms? That's what they call them, romantic comedies or something. You get a little teary-eyed. They really do love each other. Now, this isn't like that. This is like, man, he, for lack of a better phrase, I can't think, he's just crying, man, weeping, breaks down, if you will. Jesus wept. Listen, Jesus knows. Jesus knows what he's about to do. He knows the power that's in him. But remember, he loves Mary. He loves Martha. He loves Lazarus. And whatever's going on with Lazarus, he ain't in that cave. His body might be in that cave, but Lazarus would have to be in Abraham's bosom during this time. So Lazarus is doing just fine. You know what I mean? Lazarus is doing swell, you know? But his heart breaks. Okay, let me just say it like this. When your heart breaks, Jesus is there right there with you, and he's going through it with you. You know what I mean? He deeply cares about what you're going through. Let me use this picture again. Those of us that are parents, man, when your little ones are heartbroken, you know, and you know it's going to work out, settle down. You know it's going to work out, but their hearts are broken. Man, that affects you just the same way. When they hurt, you hurt, man. And this is our Heavenly Father. This is Jesus showing us this picture of our Heavenly Father, that when we're hurting, he is hurting with us, even though he knows it's all going to work out. That's how much he loves us. Amen. So whatever you're going through, man, you're not going through it alone. Okay? Don't give up. Trust in Jesus. He will make a way where there is no way. He doesn't promise to do it exactly the way you want him to do it. Okay? But he's going to do it better than you can imagine. So I just want you guys to give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus.